Yes, it is good to know that we have a friend. We have a friend in Allendale. What an awesome friend they are. I like to brag on it a little bit. She's my bestie. Bragging rights. So here we are. We're in week two of Welcoming the Harvest. I call it part two. Assisting neighbors with their harvest, assisting others with their harvest. And the harvest, just to reacquaint us, the harvest is the time when we reap what we sow. And in the context of this month, it's identifying that which has been grown, actually looking at it, identifying it, paying attention to it, yes indeed, so that we can choose what we would like to continue, so that we can be aware of the good and collect that and expand it. And as a reminder to myself and to all of us, the harvest is always happening. We think that it's seasonal. Well, it is for certain things, but the harvest of life, the harvest of God, the harvest of the infinite, it's always upon us. It's always upon us. It's never not a time to pay attention to what is being brought up in the garden. And we each have access, equal access, I might add, equal access to the crop of peace and love and joy and creativity and harmony and all of those good things that we know. We have equal harvest, equal access to the harvest of shame and inadequacy and doubt and fear and those things too. So we do want to pay attention, right? We do want to pay attention as we're walking through the garden of life at what we're picking up. So that's just our recap, and we bring it forward to today. I believe, and our philosophy teaches, and I just love this so much because it's become a cadence. It could become a just such an easy way to sing and know and believe. There's only one life. This life is God's life. This life is perfect. This life is my life now. So it might be new to you. That might be a new idea to you. Or it might be this familiar welcoming into your heart. And you might go, oh, yes, I remember this. One life. It's God's life. What do I know about God? Well, I know that it's good. What do I know about God? Well, I know that it's love. What do I know about God? Well, I know that it's peace and it's eternal. It's filled with surprises. And I do believe, and I know and I trust that I am one with it. So as I deepen this, as I deepen my understanding of this idea, the one life, God's life, my life, it automatically extends to, I can't say it for myself and deny that that's true for Karen. I can't say that it's true for me, it's true for life, and then leave some out. Can I? Well, sure. Actually, I can. I can say that. I can believe it. I can think it. But does that make it true? Well, no, it doesn't. Because there's only one life. One life means inclusive of all. One life means everybody. And so we're all a part of it. We all have access to the good of life. So the first lesson today of assisting others in their harvest is understanding, as I know this for myself, I know it for all. It is the greatest gift that we can give each other, is to recognize and know the divinity of God within each other. Sometimes it's really challenging. Sometimes we look out and we look at somebody and we say, oh, what a saint. Oh, what a good person. Oh, what a generous life they're living. What a creative life. What a powerful life. And sometimes we look out at people and we find ourselves filled with judgment and looking upon that which doesn't seem to inspire us. And so how do we assist each other in the harvest? Well, one of the things that I can do is I can at least allow myself to believe that it's possible somewhere in my mind, a nook or a cranny, that they too are part of this one life. That might be enough. It might be. I might affirm, as I know this truth for myself, I know it for all of life. And let that be enough. I might just allow myself the possibility of including all. But it's huge, isn't it? It's so big. It's just so big. So we got to bring it in closer. We got to bring it into our immediate friends and neighbors, our family. There's plenty to work with there, isn't there? With our family. Yeah, even that family member. Oh, y'all are laughing. You've met my family. Because when we come together and celebrate what we share in common, when we come together and be with each other in the spirit of love, we change. It just happens. I was blessed to be with my mom this week, and I don't get to see her very often, so this was just such a treat. And both of us, I'm sure, and my sister was there too, but both of us, I'm sure, were just so wanting for it to go well. Just so wanting to be able to be in each other's presence and not have anything get in the way of our love. It's so precious to be able to be in the presence of someone I love and just be in love. Why would I want to get upset about something that they said that was not intentionally unkind? Why would I want to pick up an old hurt and carry it with me? You know, should I put it in my suitcase? Should I bring it on the airplane? Should I make sure I've got it right here in my pocket so that I can go and something that happened 45 years ago, which I can't even remember what it was, I'm just using this as an example, Mom, and bring that with me? Why would I do that when I have the opportunity to be with her for a precious couple of days and bask in the presence of love? Our love. So since the crop is infinite and it's always available and we are free to fill up often and completely, we can live from the overflow. We were in a class yesterday and some of us, and I heard the instructor talking about living from the overflow of good. And it was such a good reminder to me that there is an overflow. There is an overflow of good, and that I can at any point live from the saucer. Have you heard that expression before, where my cup runneth over and I'm living from the overflow of good? When I'm living from the overflow of good, I find myself much more generous. Maybe you've noticed that about yourself. Maybe you've noticed that when your good is very available and present, and you can see it and you can just feel it, and it just feels so good, and there's so much good, and there's plenty to share, right? And it's easy. But what about the days when, you know, I'm tired, or I've had a rough night, or I'm struggling with an idea, and I don't feel my good so present, or I'm wondering about my bank account or something else, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't have so much good. How can I share my good out there? I don't have that much good. And that's when I'm forgetting that my good is not mine. My good is God, and God is infinite. There's more than enough. So is it possible that my experience of good is limited by my own belief? Not a new idea for some of us. But how are we doing at living and remembering that our good is not limited by our own belief? Just a little check-in for us. So as we assist another with their harvest, it is, I believe, the greatest gift that we can witness each other. I am a big fan. I am a big fan of the idea that we witness each other and that we get to know each other, and that Well, the action and the activity of life is to know and reveal itself. That means that my action and activity of my life is to know and reveal myself. I'm talking about my capital S self. Reveal my capital S self. And if that's my activity, then it's Hal's and Chris's and Karen's and yours. It's your activity to know and reveal your capital S self. So if that's true, then if I'm going to be a good friend and be there for you, and you're going to be there for me, then what we're witnessing, what we're seeing within each other is the capital S self. Make sense? Thank you. So I find that sometimes the mistake that we make is we tell someone else who they are, instead of letting them tell us who they are. See, here's the thing. If I'm going to get to know the greatest experience of God in me, I have to find it within me and share that. If that's true for me, it's also true for you. So my greatest gift to you isn't to just stand by and say, yeah, this is who you are, and that's how you do it, and da 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 da, and tell you all about it. My greatest gift is actually to witness, to be the place and the space where someone gets to show up. So, Lao Tzu said, being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. And I love that so much, and I've shared it with you before, and I come back to it over and over again, because loving someone else deeply is courageous. Being loved gives us strength. But just think about it. Just think about, I'm sure each of us can think of one person in our life that we love deeply. And it gives us courage. Consider that as you're thinking about the way that you feel as you love them. Do you feel a little bit more empowered? Do you feel a little bit more strengthened? Do you feel a little bit more able to be in the world? Because the activity of loving is the activity of God. And the activity of God and the activity of life is what is moving through us. And as we're allowing that which is natural to move through us, it cannot help but lift us up and lift us to a greater level. So what I'm asking us to do is to have courage, great courage to love one another, even more than we thought was possible. And so we might consider the great commandment. Y'all know which one I'm talking about? I bet you do. Love thy neighbor. Actually, it goes, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I think people get caught up and hung up in the as yourself part. So let's just start with love your neighbor. Let's just start there. Just start with love your neighbor. Love them. Be kind to them. Be generous with them. Let them in. One of the greatest ways that we can love our neighbor is to let them in. Do you know what I mean by this? I mean, let them in. Let them know you. Let them experience you. Let them see your light. Let them in. And then be that good neighbor and know them. I'm just going to go back to it again because I find that it is such an important thing. If we, there's actually a quote, I'm going to find it for you because it's so beautiful. When you decide who someone is, you take away the opportunity for them to be anything else. So when we make a decision about someone, about each other, and we say, oh, I know all about you. I've met you, or I've heard about you, or I saw something you did one time, it was 100 years ago, but I saw it, and I know who you are, then they have no chance of being anything else. Now, if you're like me, you've changed about 100 times, even since this morning, and grown and expanded, and you have a new you. If we keep holding ourselves and each other to our past, then we have nothing that we're moving into. So one of the ways that we can love our neighbor is to let them reveal themselves to us over and over and over again. And one of the things that I heard this week that I just found so beautiful was a new way of looking at a challenging experience. And because I think it's in our relationships that we find our greatest challenges. True? It just seems to be that way. And what I heard was, rather than looking at a challenging experience and calling it challenge, call it a courage experience. And it shifted for me. When we look at it as a challenge to overcome, we might tend to think that they need us to help them overcome something. But if we look at it as a courage experience, we understand the greatest gift we can give is encouragement that they can and must do it themselves. So rather than looking at our friends and seeing all of their problems that they have and thinking we have all of their answers, which we don't, but they do, could we have the courage to love them, to love them, their capital S self, and know that they have within them everything that they need? It might be a tall order. See, the thing is that we're learning to do our work alone together. Nobody can do it for us, right? Nobody can do the work for us, but we're not meant to do it alone. So think about when you have been in a challenging situation, a courage situation, right? A situation that calls for great courage within yourself to reveal who you are, because that's usually what it's about. Digging deep, finding patience, finding love, finding harmony, finding peace, finding creativity, finding, digging deep within. I know it's in there somewhere. I really can't find it because there's all this other stuff going on. I'm talking about all these other things instead of, can I have the courage to dive deep within and find that? So, we can, but we do it with each other. Very rarely do we, we do it both ways. We do it both ways. We do it ourselves because we have to do it ourselves, but we do it with each other. I keep looking at Karen because she's here today, and we talk things through. Maybe you have someone like that with you in your life, that you got something on your mind and you talk it through. It's not because I'm talking it through like I need her to tell me the answer. I'm talking it through because I need to hear myself say my own answer. And that's the thing. That's how we assist each other in knowing ourselves, revealing ourselves, being true to ourselves, is not interrupting the flow of the wisdom of God that's happening through us and for us. And I find maybe this really is just about what I'm finding in myself, is that I tend to interrupt a lot because I think I know. Well, I know what you need. Well, you know, you should take my class, or blah, 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 blah. I have your answer. Oh, it's true, I might, but if I can just stop myself and let you have your answer, it is such a great gift. Pope Francis wrote, "Rivers do not drink their own water. Trees do not eat their own fruit. The sun does not shine on itself, and flowers do not spread their fragrance for themselves. Living for others is a rule of nature. We are all born to help each other, no matter how difficult it is. Life is good when you are happy, but much better when others are happy because of you." So there it is. There's the dilemma. I want people to be happy because of me. I want people to know their self-worth. I want people to know their value because of me. But really, it's not because of me. But I get to stand witness to it. I get to see it and know it. So what can we do for each other? Too often, we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. Leo Buscaglia. So this year, we had a lot of events that didn't happen because they were supposed to happen. And one of the things that didn't happen that we had planned on was the Huntington Beach Day of Service. So I sent some of you a little bracelet like this. If you didn't get one and you're here, you have one on your chair. If you didn't get one at home, you don't need it for what I'm going to ask you to do with it. So we didn't get to have a regular day of service. So I'm inviting us to have our own personal day of service. Now this could look like anything, but I have a couple suggestions. I want it to be a day of service to the people around us in our lives. You might remember the random acts of kindness that was very popular for quite a few years, where we would do something for someone with no expectation of anything in return. Maybe you'll think of a person and you have an idea of what you might do for them. Or maybe you're the person who will choose the first person I see when I wake up. That's who I'm going to do this kindness for, this good for. Finding time for others might seem like a big ask, but it is the greatest gift that we give ourselves. As we find time for others, we assist them in knowing themselves. As we assist others in knowing themselves, their capital S self. Oh, we don't have to worry about fixing them. We don't have to worry about what's going on because they know themselves. So really the greatest gift we can give each other is to know ourself and to assist each other in knowing ourselves and to know that can only happen from knowing within. The greatest gift we can give each other is to behold the Christ within. So I invite you this week to behold the Christ within. On our bracelet it says dignity, respect, and kindness. Look upon each other with dignity. Look upon ourselves and each other with respect and kindness. We might start a mutual admiration society, finding value in each other, finding value in our lives together. And consider that it's a matching plan, okay? Consider that God is matching our actions. You know, we can't outgive God. So could we all give generously to each other, knowing that our giving is being matched by God. So, let's close this up. There is only one reason to do anything. As a statement to the universe of who you are. Who are you? Let that be known. That assists your neighbors. Being who you really are is no small task, but it is the journey of a lifetime. Let's do this together. Let's behold the Christ within ourselves and within each other and assist each other in knowing our goodness, our greatness, our oneness. Thank you. And so it is. And let's bring back Allendale.